So just a reminder, clarification, if it's not clear already, that the litany of vocations that was passed out, that will take the place of the scourge of the faithful. And Julie, I think, will come up to lead us in that. You might want to just leave the time of a closing prayer, and I'll do that from over here to share. So thank you for being a part of that. So I'm what they call a lifer. I started seminary in high school, a sophomore in high school, and I loved it. It was so much fun being with this band of brothers. We played sports together, we had meals together, we prayed together, we studied together. It was easy for me as a high school student to think of seminary as one of the most fun places I could be. And I think I excelled at it. We were allowed to go out on dates with females, and I did just a little bit. But it was a pretty easy decision to continue on to college seminary. And there, I like to think that I excelled even more. Not that everything was perfect, right? I assure you there are plenty of normal ups and downs. In college seminary, we were not expected to date at all, but we were expected to not date at all. At that point, we were in a sense dating the diocese, as we considered being ordained for Holy Mother Church. In the fall semester of my senior year in college, I broke the rules, and I dated a gal from a nearby town pretty seriously, clandestinely, of course. It was kind of exciting, exhilarating, but it was also deceptive and lacked integrity. And after a few months, for various reasons, I just knew I needed to break it off, which was very hard, very hard. And after I did, it took some time to reintegrate back into the seminary. And my last semester of that senior year, after some time, I finally started to feel a little more peace. And I decided I wanted to continue in the seminary for the last 4 years before ordination. But then, the diocese, which had learned of my little rebellion, wasn't so sure they wanted me to continue. And for the first time, I, who had always thought of myself as a kind of golden child in the seminary, was told that I might not be asked to continue, that I might be asked to step away. It was one of the worst and best things that ever happened to me. I finally realized, in a deep down sort of way, that my sinful choices had consequences. And it wasn't necessary for the church to choose me. The church would do just fine without me. And at that point, I could have thumbed my nose and walked away, or humbled myself, asked for forgiveness, and wait. I'll let you decide what happened. In all three readings today, we heard a vocation story that revolves around the individual realizing first and foremost that he's a sinner. Isaiah has this powerful experience of the Lord's presence in the temple, and he cries out, "Woe is me, I'm doomed, for I'm a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips." And after receiving forgiveness, then Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." St. Paul realizes that his arrogance led him to fight Christ and persecuting the church. And when he was converted and called to be an apostle, he said yes, but he never forgot that I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle.
By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace has not been ineffective in me. When St. Peter encountered Jesus in His miraculous power, he fell on his knees at His feet, and he cried out, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." It was only after all three of these individuals realized their sinfulness, their weaknesses, then they were called to serve as prophet, apostle, leader of God's church. That experience of hitting the wall and realizing their own limits is crucial for being a Christian, let alone a Christian leader. Without that experience, we tend to think that, you know, Jesus is a nice helper for sure. If he gets busy doing something else, well, I'll be okay. Actually, no. Without his help, I'm toast, and so are you. Without his help, we're left to the prince of this world. And that's bad news. So only when we truly realize that truth, then we're ready to let him be our Savior. And then for those who are called, we're ready to lead. This is called by name weekend, as we were told earlier, when Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and he fell to the ground helpless. Then Jesus called him by name, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" When Simon fell on his knees before Jesus in humility, then Jesus called him by name, "Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas." Each one of us are members of the body of Christ. And the bishop is asking, in this matter, that you be the voice for that body. That you be the voice of Christ, the voice of Mother Church, calling young people by name. I can say that of the surveys that I have seen, you know, that go out measuring job satisfaction, priests consistently rate among the most satisfied of any. If you're a young, unmarried man and you wonder about that, I say to you, come and see. Come to the seminary and see. Seminary is simply a place to see and discern. I know lots of guys who went to the seminary, left and got married, and then their wives come up to me and say, "That was the best preparation for married life they could have had." Seminary works to form you into a mature Christian man, ready to say yes to whatever the Lord calls you. And the same can be said about the formation for religious life, religious brothers and sisters, living in a community, a prayerful, dedicated, like-minded persons. It's a wonderful way to grow and mature as a Christian man or woman. Discerning marriage, celibacy, priesthood, religious life, that's something every Christian should do as we grow up and mature. Whether married or celibate, we're all called to be husband, wife, father, and mother. Whether your spouse is the church, or Christ, or another human being. So I want to thank you, all who are here, for encouraging this kind of discernment in our young people. Thank you to our young people for seriously discerning God's call in your life. And thank you for intentionally discerning one or more youth you would like to call by name. The cards, I think, are also in the pews, right? You can fill them out during Mass and drop them in into the basket on the way, that's what you do on your way out. or you can take them home with you and bring them back with you. We're all part of the body of Christ. So here's the homework for the week. Pray this week about how you have been or are being called to be husband, wife, father, mother in the church, whether in a married or celibate vocation. Beg the help of the Holy Spirit as you call others by name.